Mr. Hewlett, Reel 3. I'd like to talk a bit more about this first OXU course. Where did you go to for the course?
That was Moesca camp. Moesca being the Egyptian for camp, and that is at Ismailia. And there was the OXU.
Was that the Middle East OXU? Was it a special one for our Royal Army Service Corps?
I think it must have been.
And could you? I realise that you weren't there. You were RTU'd from there,
yeah.
Unfairly, from the sound of it. But could you tell me a bit about the course and what you were doing on it, and how it went wrong for you?
Well, it went wrong only in the fact that I didn't get permission. I was never really given a reason as to why. And I felt that I had been treated unfairly in that I was victimised by not having gone through the ADST, Assistant Director of Supply and Transport.
So they never told you why you'd failed at all? I mean, they didn't give a reason?
No, there may have been reasons, but they certainly didn't tell me any.
Now, what was the course like? Or was it the same as when you went again?
No, it was a shortish course. It was extremely interesting.
Concentrated on what?
A lot on transport, actually, and even including mechanical things. Because I remember at one stage there was a test given where they had deliberately rendered a truck undrivable, and you had to find out why, and there were a lot of things wrong with it, and you had to put them right. I remember doing that. I don't remember many details of the course, except I do remember some fairly good people on it. I shared a room with a guy called Patrick Phillips, who was an artist. And did you have an art gallery in London? He got commissioned, a general list commission. I can't even remember what that is, but I know it's not in a regiment anyway. He got commissioned and I didn't. We had to give lectures. I gave a lecture on streamlining in motor car design. He gave a lecture on art. I knew his off by heart and he knew mine off by heart because we practiced them together.
Were you learning the detailed, bookkeeping, things like that, or,
no.
Or was...
No detail like that. It's so long ago, I simply can't remember what we did. A lot of it was leisure. We used to go sailing on Lake Temsa in the afternoon, which was great. It was like a sort of holiday in many ways.
And you were there about 2 months?
No, I think it was about 5 weeks. I couldn't have put it longer than that. Very pleasant 5 weeks.
And you... Were you embittered when you were RTU, so you went back to your original unit then?
I went back to my original unit. I could, to be honest about this, there was some mention that I could go to another OXU as training for infantry, and I didn't want to at the time.
Why not?
That was not recommended for an RESC commission, but with further training I might become an infantry officer.
Why
I didn't feel ready for that.
In what way? You just...
I felt reasonably happy doing what I was doing. I didn't feel ready to suddenly unlearn everything and become an infantry officer. I did later, but at that time I didn't.
I
liked being a very young staff sergeant. Because I was pretty young.
Did you realise the importance of Royal Army Service Corps work? I mean, some frontline infantry don't realise it. I mean,
I used to be quite sarcastic about it when I became an infantry officer, but before then, I thought it was quite important work.
So what happened when you went back?
I went back. My officer, Captain Cable, got promoted and sent to, I think he worked for GHQ because he was a far better solicitor than he shouldn't have been, like a supplier on the law side, and that's what he eventually did. So I got a series of other officers in charge, and eventually I got one with whom I could not get on.
Why not?
He was a very strange man. I think he was. His background had not been quite as good as mine in some ways, and he was jealous of my having been to a public school and he hadn't. I could see no future in it, so I managed to arrange myself a cross posting between a chap I knew in Cairo and with the DRD there, and he wanted to move to Syria, so we more or less filled it ourselves, and we got everybody to recommend it, and I got posted to Cairo and he got posted to Syria. I needed a change soon. And it was there.
And did that depot have a name? Or a
62 DRD. And that was in Casual Neil Barracks, Cairo.
Now, that's an old barracks.
Yeah.
Was it up to standard, or was it a bit primitive?
Primitive, really, with very old buildings. Quite a good life.
And your duties there were pretty much the same?
Okay. Although we had far more dealings direct with contractors than I had at the other place. We had quite a lot of Celanese clerks there. But it was just, yes, the same. The difference was that we had a petrol unit there. There was a filling station. So I had a sergeant in charge of petrol supplies there. And it was a well-used place. And it was right in the middle of Cairo, and everybody came to us. And it was an interesting job, but I felt it was too cushy, really. Almost too good to be true. And once again, I got recommended to go to a transport company to get transport experience before they would recommend me for a commission again. So I went up to visit in a transport company.
Do you know which one it was and when?
403 GT Company.
GT standing for?
General Transport.
And when about?
When? It must have been late 42, I would think.
So again.
No, 43.
So you'd been with. You'd been with the.
Two DRDs.
For a long time. And. Whereabouts in the desert were you heading for? I mean,
I was heading for Benghazi, and I was with a friend of mine who was having the same sort of recommendation as a sort of pre-commission recommendation to go to another unit, and we got as far as Tobruk Transit Camp in the traditional way of going up the desert, which was summing a lift, and in a sandstorm there, I remember this very well, this chap sort of literally collapsed in my arms, and I carried him, or dragged him over to the MI tent, where I had to leave him because I was going on to get ultimately to Benghazi, and it transpired, although I didn't discover this immediately, that he had smallpox. And I'd spent a couple of days with a unit, some friends of one unit that I knew at Bache, another one at Derna. And when I finally got to my new unit at Benghazi, they said, "Don't come any further. You're isolated. You're in quarantine." And eventually, the other people whom I'd contacted were rounded up. And we were given a Bedford truck. We lived by a lake near Benghazi, all by ourselves, for 3 weeks quarantine. And that was the best 3 weeks quarantine I've ever had in my life. Absolutely wonderful. I don't think I put a shirt on for 3 weeks. I was brown as a berry, was swimming in the sea or in this lake. And then reality, I got back to Cairo. I got back to this unit where I got on very well with them. And I was in the workshops. We were putting Dodge engines into Chevrolets or Chevrolets into Dodges or something like that. I got on very well with the workshops captain.
Did you have enough mechanical knowledge to deal with all this? Or
not really, but I was learning a lot wrong. I even learned a little bit of paddle beating, which was quite interesting. But they put me on various things because I was only there because the ultimate thing was to recommend me for a commission. And they treated me almost like an officer, which was very nice. And we went back to base depot, right down to the canal zone. I was still with them. And when it came time to leave, they gave a recommendation. And I went to the War Office Selection Board thing with these recommendations, which they tore up without looking at. So we don't accept recommendations anyway. So that bit was technically wasted. This was the introduction, the first introduction in Egypt of the War Office Selection Board. You know, when you went through a funny 2 days, or day, I think, or any day.
What sort of day? I mean, what did they do? Sorry.
Oh, they asked thousands of questions. All sorts of general. Just any sort of children's intelligence test. And at one stage, you had all your men were blindfolded. I think you had to lead them through another lot of blindfolded men. And you had to get over a fence. With a piece of, you had a plank and a bit of rope and nothing else. You had to get over without touching it and get all your men over and get half a dozen over, those sort of things. And as a result of that, I got recommended for commission, an infantry commission, which is what I wanted to.
So what had changed your mind? This idea of
I felt life was too cushy. I really haven't told you the whole story. I decided that I would volunteer for everything. I volunteered, first of all, for the parachute regiment. I had an interview with the colonel there, and I was recommended that. I was already on the waiting list to go to Oxford for an infantry commission, and I'd also heard that you got back to England if you volunteered for glider pilots. A lot of us did that. So I was down for the glider pilot regiment as well. And I chose, or rather, I was chosen that we came through Staff Sergeant Hewlett, RASC, posted in the rank of Colour Sergeant to the 10th Royal Sussex Battalion of the Parachute Regiment at Geneva. And I was just due to go down to join them, and the Octube thing came up, and then they said, you will not do that, you will go to the Octube instead. And then it was just like being back at school.
Now, why had you decided to volunteer for everything? Was this just this... Were you feeling guilty then?
Or? I don't think it was a feeling of guilt. I just felt life was, you know, with a war on, life was easier than it should be. And that I wanted to do something a bit more exciting. That was it, really.
So, which Octu did you go to? This is the infantry Octu now.
You start off at the start off with basic training at Geneva. I think we did a month at Geneva. You then go to the main Octube, which was at Acre in Palestine.
Where?
Acre, A-C-R-E. North of Haifa in Palestine. And you then go to the infantry Octube, which was at Sarafan, just near Tel Aviv.
Well, let's take
it. I think it was... Certainly 3 months, it may have been more than that.
When did you start this?
this is what I have, this is what I remember. I believe that the whole process of option could have taken as much as 6 months, 2 months at each one. Sounds a lot, doesn't it?
So when would you have started that? Well, when were you commissioned then, looking at it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was commissioned in January 44.
So, June-ish 43.
Yeah, I think it was 6 months. It was 2 months at Geneva, 2 months at ACCA, 2 months at Southend.
Now, let's look at what... briefly, Professor, but well, let's have a look at each and see what we've got. What did you do at Geneva on the basic course? What was it they were trying to get through to you there? Or inculcating?
Well, you there's a lot of cleaning of the equipment and, you know, getting webbing snow white without using blanker, things like that.
So bull?
Yes, a lot of that. And one learned the art of doing that. I mean, it's kind of a challenge to say you've got to get your green equipment snow white and not use blanker. You know what we'll use? Milton. There's a colossal upsurge in the sale of Milton disinfectant. It got everything snow white, and the day you finished off, the bloody thing fell to bits. Because all the stitching had been ruined. But that was a bit of army waste, and there was one, but everybody did it. But that was a lot of it, discipline of that sort. There were night marches. There were firing, first time I ever fired an artillery piece, which we had to do that. A lot of PT and quite a lot of marching. Difficult to remember that. So great fun, like being back at school.
Well, there many
people. Very much like being in public school, and you've got people who have been pretty carefully selected to be there at all, which did mean that to a certain extent you were amongst a sort of elite.
Were there any particular friends you made at Geneva or later?
Yes, several. Certainly one in particular, a bloke called Frank Griffiths, who was sort of an expert to me most of the time. He was a very interesting man. Who eventually captured a Tiger tank and got an MC for doing so.
Who with? With
Foresters. They were our near neighbours because our brigade, and I was at the DLR Foresters and Leicester.
Second fifth. Anyone else in particular?
A lot of them. Several. I mean, several joined the DLI at the same time as I did.
Which this
was. Dodd was one. Dad Dodd was one.
What was he like?
Ronald Dodd. Very loud voice. A bit like that. Good brother. Queen's Regiment. He'd been before commissioned. Another chap from the Queen's Regiment, Neil Vicker, who also joined the DLI. Brian Hill, who also commissioned in the Oxford Parks with me, but joined the DLI. Same battalion. Well, a lot of them are good ones. I haven't made a lot of good friends there. And we all went through Oxford together.
What about, so that the first 2 months was at Geneva, then you're up to the main.
Okay. That is really the basic octave.
And what were they concentrate on there?
Schemes. You went out at night and you went out. You were either the capturing army or the enemy. The great fun really to be the enemy, that was much best because you got taken where you were going. And we were doing exercises with live ammunition, and it was really enormous fun. I remember Frank Griffiths, the chap I just mentioned, he was the enemy one. And we had to get fixed fire lines round so that we, you know, to be safe, we would aim at things like trees. And I was aiming with a Bren gun at a tree, and I just fired a shot, and the tree got up and ran away. It wasn't a tree at all, it was a camel with a load of something on it. So So these were great. It was fun times, and very hard. We were very fit.
This is where you'd bring your basic tactics should be learned, then, would
yes.
it?
Yes.
We
still got infantry up to come, but seemed to be at least as much infantry as anything else.
And what sort of tactics were they concentrating on? I mean, were there any basic principles they were trying to knock into you?
Well, if there were, I've forgotten them all. I'm afraid. If you get used to working under conditions of genuine firing, I mean, live ammunition it's the first time one has encountered live ammunition as a really a big thing in one's life. The discipline and the parade were very strict indeed. Tremendously strict. They had a famous RSM Coopley, I think his name was. RSM Coopley, whose voice put the fear of God into you. Even though he had to call you sir, he had dissolved you before he got to the sir, you know.
Did they introduce you to the officer's mess and how you were meant to behave as an officer? Or was that just taken as read? And the legal side, King's regulations, things like that, you know, disciplinary methods.
But a lot of, as we all spend a great deal of our time at the basic OCU in cleaning and polishing everything so that we were spotless. Absolutely.
And that would be the main one as well at ACCA.
Not quite so much at ACCA, because ACCA was very much an action thing, and you've got your boots very dirty and things like that.
So that was more the exercises and things like that.
Tactical exercises with troops and all sorts of exercises, night and day.
Now, what about the final one? You then went on to the infantry school at Sarafat.
Sorry, that's the one I was talking about.
Oh, sorry. Right, which is...
This is where we finally commissioned from.
Right. So you did the exercises at Sarafat more?
Yes. Far more intensive. Everything infantry, map reading, and that sort of thing, night and day, and all the sort of important things like covering one's binoculars with hessian so that you didn't get picked off so easily as an officer with leading men, that sort of thing. Everything that would stand in good stead as an infantry officer.
So real practical tips as well.
Oh yes, it was. Really good. And it was 10 miles from Tel Aviv, which was lovely from a leisure point of view, because we knew everybody in Tel Aviv eventually, from the mayor downwards.
Were you aware, as a backdrop, the problems of the Jewish community and, you know, things like that going on? Or
well, yes, but I come to that a little later.
Okay.
Well, we were finally commissioned from there.
Was there a final test, or did you have to pass the test, or was it just you'd gone through the course?
One had gone through tests, etc., and there was you didn't know whether you were an A, B, a C, or a D cadet. I think D may have been relegated back to your unit or E. Most people were C. I was C. Thank goodness was C. One or two were B, and I think there was one A, which is pretty unusual. But it was a brilliant organisation at Sarafat, because they quite deliberately, we were in small bivouacs, I think either, I can't remember whether it was either three or four to attend, and they would have one New Zealander, one South African, one English, and so on. I shared with a Maori, one of our people. That was, I thought, a very good idea. People from all over. It was extremely interesting period, it really was. And we were commissioned from there.
Now, when you came to choose your regiment,
you had to put down regiments. They said you can't be guaranteed your choice, but in fact, everybody got that paper, his own choice.
Now, why did you pick the Oxen Bucks? Was just your local...
It was my local regiment when I lived at Ivor before the war.
And you got that?
Yeah.
Right. So what happened next?
Well, we went to... we had leave in Cairo, and then went to the infantry... infantry base depot, which is back to Geneva again, awaiting posting to units. and it was there that quite how this happened, it was suggested that people who didn't have regiments, you know, they were Oxen and Bucks, I didn't know there was no Oxen and Bucks anywhere near, which there wasn't at the time, would we consider other light infantry regiments? Because the recruiting officer or somebody would be around to suggest you went to see the colonel of that regiment. And I went to see Johnny Preston, not just me, but quite a number of us.
Now, Johnny Preston, that's the colonel of the 16th Battalion DLI.
Yes, who himself was a KOYLI. He's got a marvellous mixture. Dennis Warren was a Dorsetshire regiment. Johnny was a KOYLI.
Now, they were also in the Middle East. They'd just come out of Italy, hadn't they?
They had just come back from Italy. And they were on what was called the Cooked Tour. And so I joined them.
Do you remember much about the interview? I mean, you were interviewed by Preston. Do you remember what form the interview took? Or was it just a very slight thing?
Honestly, I can't remember. Because when I try to think that, I get rolled up with another one. I think we only saw Preston briefly. We were then passed on to somebody else.
So, there were a few of you.
After you joined the town, you had to have lunch with Johnny Preston. Not just lunch, but a lunchtime session, a real long talk with him. Everybody had to do that individually.
Not all of you together.
Right.
So, there was you went to, you'd had this interview, and Dodds, anybody else came at the same time as you? Yeah, Lionel Dodds?
Lionel Dodds, Neil McVicker, Brian Hill, probably somebody else, if I can't remember.
And where were they when you joined them?
They were at, they were in Egypt. I think they must have been, yes, they must have been at Geneva. And they, as soon as we joined them, the whole battalion was posted to Tel Aviv. And you mentioned the Jewish troubles, because they were having Stern Gang and Haganah riots at the time. And the very first job we had to do was to police Tel Aviv and enforce the curfew. And of course, there were whoops of joy from all the people who'd been at South End, back to Tel Aviv again. And we knew everybody there had a wonderful time.
What actual policing duties did you have?
Checked that really it was mainly to check that there were no people who shouldn't be on the streets. There was a curfew and you had to enforce it. And you would drive around in jeeps and look sort of frightening with a pistol at one's belt and that sort of thing. But it was all really.
Did anything happen?
Simple. No incidents at all that I can remember.
Now, when you joined them, you joined them and you went to Tel Aviv. But what company and platoon had you been put in originally? Because I know you were in B later on, but...
Well, I don't remember being anywhere but B. I never did anything else. I was 12th platoon, B company. My commanding officer in B company, Ray Mitchell, was away on a course when I joined the company. And the company was run by Captain Coots, Jimmy Coots.
What was he like? We haven't heard much about him.
Unusual person. I'm afraid dead. I think he went to South Africa after the war and died over there.
In what way?